stand up for the reading of the Word of God this morning? Amen. And let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the major prophet, Isaiah. You have major prophets and minor prophets in your Bible. They're not, one's not major in a message and minor in a message. One is major in the length of the book compared to the minor books. And we're going to the book of Isaiah. I'd like for you to go to chapter number 58 this morning as we read the Word of God. And I want you to pray for me that I preach just what God wants me to this morning. And got some things on my heart and I need God's help, no doubt about it. Amen. Chapter 58 of the book of Isaiah. We're going to read two verses, verse 1 and verse 2, and then we'll pray and be seated. Chapter 58, Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. And let's read both of these together, all right? We'll read them word for word. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Father, we come to Thee now in this precious moment, this time where we've come on church day, the Lord's day, and we're asking for Thy help. I pray that You'd use me. I know that You don't have to have me. So many more can preach so much better. But God, I definitely have to have Thee. And so I plead this morning for Thy power. I pray that I'd have the endowment from on high, and that You'd feed us till we want no more. Lord, we need a spirit of revival in our country. All that is going on. Oh, dear God, I pray this morning among those that are here that You would set a revival fire in our hearts. May we seek Thy face. May we see our sins. And may we repent and come to Thee as God, as Thy people. May we humbly come to Thee. May we have a broken, a contrite heart. And I pray, dear God, if we do it, please, would You send one more revival? Would You do one more great work in this land before it's too late? And I ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to preach this morning on a step to revival. A step to revival. I want to preach on a step to revival. Look, our country needs revival. Amen. When I say revival, I'm not speaking about lost people getting saved. I'm speaking of saved people getting revived. Coming back to God, seeing things the way God sees them. There's a lot of definitions on revival. I'm reminded of one great preacher in the Second Awakening, Charles G. Finney, who in 30 days saw 100,000 people trust Christ and even become members of local churches in the state of New York in 30 days alone. And Charles Finney, he said this. He said, revival is the use of constituted means. Revival is the use of constituted means. I like that. In other words, we can have it if we'll do what we're supposed to do. And we see some things in this book. Now, I'm not going to get thoroughly into what's going on. Isaiah, what a preacher he was. He didn't see much fruit. But, you know, just because man says he wasn't successful doesn't mean he wasn't successful. He was very successful in the eyes of God. Knowing the will of God and doing it is the success of a believer. And Isaiah was that preacher. And he sure did start off strong. And in chapter 6, he saw the vision of the Lord high and holy lifted up. And he said, woe is me, I am undone. And we began to see this book. And of course, in this time, there was persecution being prophesied. The nation of Israel, they were away from God. There was two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. 2 of the tribes made up the southern kingdom, Judah. And the capital of Judah was Jerusalem. That's where Isaiah practically lived, but he preached to both kingdoms, to the nation of Israel. Now, there was judgment coming. You find in the first 39 chapters that he deals with sin in a great way. And the last chapters after that, the last 27 chapters of Isaiah, it's more of grace and God's promises and the restoration. It's a little mini Bible. Do you know that? You look at the book of Isaiah, it's a mini Bible. 39 chapters of Isaiah represents the 39 books of the Old Testament of judgment and law, and then came Jesus. Amen? And he brought grace upon grace, and we have the last chapters of Isaiah, and it's a mini Bible. But here's what I want to look at this morning. Look, my heart's stirred up. I hope you're stirred up. I mean, we got to get stirred up. We got to see the need of the hour. It's not accidental that God has given you the great privilege to live in the days you're living. And we're living in some fine times, perilous days, no doubt about it. And I'm telling you right now, we need God's people to step up and do what they need to do. Israel here was away from God. They were being judged. Judah was going to be judged captive. We have two enemies in the book of Isaiah. The Assyrian army in the first half. The Babylonian nation were the enemy in the second half. And good prophetic parts was being done. Isaiah was foretelling the book in the last chapters of Isaiah, which we're in right here. I want you to know some things. I want to preach this morning on the step to revival. And I want to make this very applicable to us. Everybody doing well? Everybody awake this morning? Hey, let's let God... Will you do me a favor? I know what you... Listen, some people say, man, I didn't come to church to hear gloom and doom. We've got to wake up. We've got to wake up. And the big problem in our country is what I'm going to preach on this morning. To have a true step of revival, we've got to have some preachers who not only have paid the price in the prayer closet, but are willing to stand up and cry out loud and preach, thus saith the Lord. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, cry out loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Again, Israel here, Judah, the house of Jacob, Israel, they were not living like they should, and they had a bunch of false preachers, priests and teachers that was not helping the matter out. They were watchmen that did not know how to bark. They were watchmen that did not know how to cry and warn of the beast in the field. You look at chapter 56, you back up. The Bible says in verse 9, all ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Well, that's pretty harsh right there. God's calling some of those ministers dumb dogs, all right? Dumb dogs that they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And many of those teachers that people respected in Israel's day, they were giving false hope and false teaching and making everybody feel like they were doing just right. And they weren't. They needed somebody like Isaiah to spare not, cry aloud, lift up his voice as a trumpet. And I want to preach on the first step of revival. And I want you to see the phrase in verse 1. And here's the first step of revival. And by the way, if we do this, we'll have it. If we'll follow through with it. But this is on the preacher this morning. Notice the phrase, show my people their transgression. Show my people their transgression. And I want to preach a little while with that thought. First step of revival is showing the people the transgression. You look at this preacher Isaiah, this prophet, we see some things about showing their transgressions. And again, I want you to understand that they were unwilling to see, the nation of Israel was unwilling to see the reality of their sin. They didn't want to see it. Hey, they pointed at the society that they lived in, just like we're doing right now. They're pointing at the problem in Houston. How can a mayor ask and subpoena sermons? And then she later on said, we just want speeches. And she is behind it. We know by her Twitter account, Twitter tells everything. How can government officials invade churches and say, and we point our finger over there and we say, that's so ungodly, that mayor. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's show their transgression. It's the people of God to blame. It's people of God to blame. God's people are to blame for things like that. You say, no, I'm telling you right now, we've got to be aware. It is us, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Where are the wet eyes? Where are the bended knees? Where is the holy life? Where is those that are willing to fast and pray and beg God to do something? I'm telling you right now, we're watching our religious freedom taken right from us. If we're not careful, we'll have men and women that stand for God in prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that the subpoena, because they've been subpoenaed, if it goes through and they do not hand over their messages, that can give them court time and jail time. And when did we think in America, the fourth largest city in America, Houston, something like this could take place? And if that happens in Houston, it's going to happen in every little small town and every big town in America. What are you going to do about it? Well, we need to show our people our transgression. Notice some things about the preacher. Number one, he was unapologetically showing the sin. Unapologetically. Notice the phrase that says, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. What a title God gives Israel. What a title. What it refers to the house of Jacob. And let me tell you, the preacher, he didn't mind who they were. He was not going to show favoritism to the house of Jacob. If the house of Jacob's the one that sinned, if it's the house of Jacob that's at fault, God says, you go down to the house of Jacob, my chosen people, my people, don't you show them favoritism. Cry aloud and with unapologetically preaching, you preach the truth to them. Show their sins. Show their transgressions. You know how many preachers we got in America that are scared to death to preach? Scared to death to preach. And as Mr. Joe Osteen, that was in the prayer inauguration for that, hey, sodomite mayor when she took the city over. Where is God's people? Where are the preachers? Are they scared to stand up? I don't care who it is. Hey, I like what one man said. It's better to have an empty church than an offended God. I don't care who you are and what society you are, how rich you are, and what political phase you're in. And we're going to preach what God wants us to preach. Hey, don't show them any favoritism at all. You preach unapologetically to the house of Jacob. We don't have it anymore. Our country, our preachers have gotten so soft. Soft. Weak. Concerned about who's in the congregation. Concerned. Go back to chapter 56. It says his watchmen are blind. I mean, what good's a watchman that can't see? You know what God's watchmen are supposed to do? You know what preachers in the pulpits of America are supposed to do? They're supposed to blow the whistle on the sin. Amen. They're to show the transgression. They're not to be playing hide and go seek and I can't see and blind. They ought to blow the whistle. They're to cry out loud. Notice unapologetically it says they are all ignorant. Preachers, they just act ignorant. And again, Joel Osteen is the chief of these. You ever seen an interview with Joel Osteen? What do you think? How do you go to heaven? I never get Larry King Live. He over and over just kept saying, Well, Larry, I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't know. One time the interview question said, will the devil ever go to heaven? And he goes, Larry, I don't know. It's not hard to figure out that the devil's not going to heaven. Amen. God made the lake of fire, hey, for the demons and the devil. And we have these preachers that are just ignorant. Oh, they're fuzzy feeling. And be a better you. Somebody needs to see the need of the hour to stand up and show the sins of our people. No wonder we're in the mess we're in. People aren't showing unapologetically. Preaching, showing the sin. Number two, he passionately showed them. Passionately showed them. Look what it says. It says, cry out loud and spare not. That's preaching right there. Now, by the way, I'm for any kind of preaching. You don't have to scream to be a serious preacher. Now, if you're fake, I don't want to hear you. And just because somebody jumps and does backflips don't mean he's preaching either. But there was definitely passionate preaching right here. cry aloud and spare not? I don't think Isaiah spared any part of his preaching. Physically, spiritually, he preached with everything he had. I like what Spurgeon said. He preached with a desk because he said, people ought to see your whole body. Preaching is a whole body experience. You preach with your whole body. I like that. Preaching. He preached with passion, cry aloud. That cry aloud deals with crying out loud. In order to get loud, you got to use his voice. Amen. Oh, I just don't like preachers at Yale. Well, guess what? That's how God commanded Isaiah.
Come on.
Cry aloud. When somebody's in a house and it's on fire, you know what people yell at them, don't you? Do they go like this? House on fire. Somebody save them. House on fire. Please, if I'm in a house burning, you better not do that. You better go, house on fire. Somebody get in there. Rescue house on fire. Call out, spare not. He didn't spare his body. He didn't spare his physical part of his life. He preached and preached. I think about George Whitefield. You know George Whitefield, and no matter whether there's things you like about him or not, I'll tell you one thing, that man was a preaching machine. George Whitefield, number one, they stopped having him in churches. They stopped having him at the church because what he preached, they didn't want to hear. So he went out to the fields and he would throw up his voice, and for 40,000 plus people, some have actual record that he preached to 100,000 people in open field. George Whitefield, he wouldn't just preach once a day. He'd preach 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., 7 p.m. He'd preach 6-7 times to 30, 40,000 people, open field. There's records that while that man preached, his very throat would bleed. Blood would come up out of his mouth. Why, I tell you what, George Whitefield, no doubt about it, he did not spare one bit at all. They didn't want to hear him in the church. He said, that's okay, I'll go out in the fields. He still cried out loud. Hey, what we need is a preacher today that's not afraid to have some passion about the preaching.
Amen.
There's nothing I hate like dead preaching. Dead. No passion. And again, just because somebody yells don't mean it's passionate. I've seen fakies. I've seen entertainers. But where's the passion? Where's the passion behind the preaching? Spare not. By the way, that means I'm not supposed to spare you. Oh, I just don't like when he preaches on that. I'm not supposed to spare you. I'm to preach what God wants us to preach. I'm telling you right now, America's in the shape she's in because preachers have stopped preaching. They're not sparing anybody. Oh, spare not. Not only passionately, but powerfully show them. We already mentioned it, but notice it says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. You know one thing about a trumpet? Listen, if I had a trumpet this morning and I blew it, would somebody say that's a violin? Would somebody say that must be piano? Would somebody say that's a flute if I ever heard one? Guitar, banjo. You know what? A trumpet has a distinct sound. You know what they used in battles? Guess what they used? It wasn't flutes. Trumpet. You know what Jesus is coming back on? Trumpet. You know why? Because it gives a distinct sound you can't escape from. You know how a preacher's to preach? Like a trumpet. There ought to be a distinct message. Powerful message. There ought to be piercing straight to the heart, preaching the Word of God, lifting it up. People shouldn't be, what's he talking about? You know how awful we are today when it comes to preachers in our country. Everybody's so lukewarm. There's no clear message. A mega church that boasts of 30,000 global viewers. This Hilson, maybe you've heard of the Hilson Church. There's a man that pastors it called Houston. Houston, they boast of 30,000. Just recently, he made some statements about homosexuality and made a shift, and everybody began to go crazy. Hillsong just came out, that leading church just came out and said they're for sodomites. Well, Hillsong, the pastor, he quickly gave a statement. I read it this morning. And his statement, he backed up, you know. I didn't say it, but I can see him going, He got nervous that he made that statement, because, by the way, he showed his heart on the first statement. But he goes on to back up and begin to, and he, I mean, this is a leading church. You might not have heard about it, but I'm talking about 30,000 people attend this church and watch it via satellite. And this man came back out, and the Christian Post, as I was reading today, he made such statements saying and things like, and I can't remember word for word, but he was backpedaling and saying, well, apparently you just read what the news said and you didn't have my full quote, because I believe what the Apostle Paul says. But somebody's asked him, just tell us yes or no. What do you believe about homosexuality? Yes or no, are you for it or against it? And he said, that's just too big for me to define. You know what? That's not a trumpet. A trumpet, you don't have a question on what's blowing when somebody blows the trumpet. And we've got preachers all over America that are so scared to death to stand up and say what the Bible says. What do you mean? Yes, that's too hard of a question to define. What do you mean you can't say yes or no? What do you mean you got to backpedal and give some unfamiliar tune? Our Christian leaders today, they're having a hard time with this issue. By the way, I don't hate anybody. The Bible-believing Christian loves everyone. I love everyone. If you're a Sodomite, I love you. And we've had Sodomites come to our church. We had one that came 4 consecutive weeks, even gave money in the offering. I said, keep coming. Amen. I didn't turn them down. I didn't block them out and say, get on out of here. I loved him with everything I got. I went home and prayed for him. One day he raised his hand under conviction and got this close to coming and getting saved. I'm so thankful. I'm against sodomy just like I'm against adultery, just like I'm against, because God's against fornication, immorality, drunkenness, sodomy. They're all sins. It's not the person, it's the sin. The sin problem. And we fight against sin. We need preachers who will sound the trumpet in the pulpits of America. You know what happened in Arizona Friday? The federal judge made a decision for the rights of a few to veto the rights of the state of Arizona. Because Arizona has already voted on this same-sex marriage issue. And we said no. But somebody put a little pressure, and the federal judge said, you're going to have it, Arizona. And Friday, we had our first same-sex marriages. And Flagstaff's courthouse, they stayed open a few hours later just on purpose, so anybody that wanted to come on down and get an extra license, they stayed, I believe, till 7 p.m. By the way, it's a sad day for many reasons. I'm an American. You don't have no right to step over the state's rights. The government is not supposed to rule us. Amen. They're protect us, not rule us. But they stepped over that. Let me tell you something else, and you listen real good. People say, I can't believe sodomy is being open like that. By the way, God will judge us for it. You mark it down. We're in trouble. This ship's going down. I said, you go ahead and think about next week's activities. You go ahead and think about all your fun. Hey, this ship's going down. Instead of planning your fun activities, get yourself on a bended knee. This ship is going down. I'm going to cry out loud and spare not and sound the trumpet this morning. This ship is going down. You can have your fun, and the devil will let you enjoy your shopping spree, and the devil will let you enjoy your fun family time. This ship's going down. Let somebody get serious. Let somebody get serious. Says, family, let's pray every night. Let's have some time every night where we seek the face of God and ask God in wrath, remember mercy, revive us again. This ship's going down. This ship's going down. 6,000 people every year convert to Islam in America. 6,000 every year convert to Islam. What do you think about that? What's going to happen to America? 2% of fundamentally independent Baptist missions goes to win Islam people. 2% of all the missionary stuff we do goes to Islam. And 6,000, the fastest growing religion in America. God, do something. We don't have revivals anymore. I like what one preacher said. He said, all these preachers today, they want those weekend revivals because nobody comes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I like what he said. He said, those weekend revivals, they're weak when they start. And they're weak when they end. Weekend revivals. Oh, everybody just... Let's act like we're serious. Are we serious? This preacher, he preached powerfully. Sounding the trumpet. By the way, notice some of these false teachers, what they say. Verse 11, it says, yea, they are greedy, chapter 56, going back, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. I mean, they're after money. They're after their pleasure. They're after what they want. That's why they don't want to offend anybody. It goes on to say, they look to their own way. Everyone for his gain. Verse 12, come ye, say they. They talk among each other. Come ye, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. And we got that in America. Preachers are so concerned about their money, their seeker-friendly movement, building church. All these churches that are growing leaps and bounds, they're doing it so they can, hey, let's be seeker friendly. Let's be so quiet and nice. And let's have internet churches. By the way, I don't need a pastor that's 200 miles away on the internet. I need a local church pastor. Amen.
Amen.
And these churches are being started up by satellite worldwide. There's church down. I was talking to somebody the other day that attended a church down in Phoenix that's becoming real big. You know what they're doing? They're buying out churches. Buying out churches. Oh, become part of us. Take our name and we'll financially build you a building. Churches buying, selling out the name of Christ. Pastors doing everything he can for their own good. Oh, let's take Baptist off the name. I'm still for putting the word Baptist on the sign. I'm still for identifying yourself. By the way, those people that say we don't want to identify ourselves, they still do. You can tell who they are just by their name. I was talking to somebody the other day about a church in Texas called The Porch. You know just by their name exactly what they believe. Amen. They identify themselves just by calling themselves The Porch. The Porch. Where are you going? Going to The Porch. You're so comfortable. It's like sitting out on the front porch. No need to get really stirred up about our country. After all, Houston is about to lose the rights of religious freedom. Can I help you out? Do you know what happened over there? In June, the mayor, first outspoken lesbian mayor of the city of Houston. Again, we're not against people, but we sure are against sin. It's against God. God hates it. And I sure pray she gets saved. But her group, they made this hero act where the LGB community would have the freedom to use whatever restroom they want. You know, that's been tried to be passed here in Flagstaff. And so they had it passed. Well, a petition began. All you needed, I believe, was 17,000 signatures on the petition, and it would be brought back up and given an opportunity for people to vote on it. They got 50,000 signatures. Somebody say amen right there. 50,000 signatures. And they went before the city with it. And the secretary looked at it, said it's official, and she was going to take it to the next step. But then the mayor, and people are going to say it's not the mayor, she tweeted it. She's open game. She knows she's behind it. The mayor and a couple other people, they got lawyers together. And you know what they did? They went over all those names and they came back and said, 35,000 of the names aren't legit. Brought it right back under 17,000. Coincidence? And then she said, by the way, I believe this happened because of five major pastors in the city of Houston. And she said, we want those pastors. We're going to subpoena them. And they did. They subpoenaed them for their sermons. Now, just Friday, because some backlash came back, just this past Friday, the mayor spoke out and said, you know what, we're not going to do that. They came up with another thing. Instead of subpoenaing their sermons, get this, they just want their speeches. Well, what in the world is the difference between sermon and speech? Same thing. You say, and by the way, I read an article of a lawyer from Harvard. He said, there's no way they can get away with that. There's no way they can do it. There's no way you can do that. And Pete, listen, everybody listen, wake up, hello. And there is no way they can do it. But you know what has happened? It's a move the fence. Yeah, it's probably not going to pass. Those pastors probably won't have to subpoena them. But it's move the fence. So the next time it happens, it happens. And when it does happen, what's going to happen to preachers and Christians? I read just recently of a pastor who had a wedding chapel, a non-profit Christian wedding chapel, under whatever, you know, guidelines it's under. And now he's facing jail time or fines. And they're going to put him in jail and give him a fine every day he does not allow a sodomite couple to get married in this chapel. That's happening all over the country. It's not just happening. It's happening all over America. Right now, we're facing that. I pulled up just recently how many, I don't suggest you go to it, but there's websites you can pull up and find out how many church denominations actually support gay marriage. Sickening. How many so-called men of God, pastor, churches, and say, this we are for. You know what you call that? You call that, everybody listening? You call that a dog that doesn't know how to bark. You call that the blind watchman. I want you to see, a few more things will be done. Three more things. Notice in verse 2 of chapter 58. You pray for me. Cry out loud, spare not, show their transgression. Notice the transgression that He shows them. And man, this is for us this morning. Everybody ready? Hold on tight, don't let the bedbugs bite. Number one, it says right here, verse 2, yet they seek me daily. What? Did you know they were so full of sin, yet they sought Him daily? I'll say this to us. Let me show us our transgressions. We're full of people in America who go to church. Church time. Church. Let's go church. We're a church nation. Church on every corner. Even Flagstaff has a lot of churches. Let's go church. Let's not make any real big deal about this thing though. Let's just keep it lukewarm now. Let's not, preacher, you know. We'll tell you what to preach this morning. Find your message on the internet. Find it out of some other book besides the Bible. Give us something to tickle our ears. Give us a story. And have music that's so conformed to the world that anybody can come in here and adultery and feel good. That's one of the reasons why that music's that weak. That way people can go to church who's living in moral and fornication, living in sin, and still have a good time at church. We love to go to church, even though we're living in sin. By the way, let's not say they're living in sin. Everybody right here? We. They love to go to church. They love to show up to the house of God. They want to go to the places where they can enjoy it. So they can enjoy it and still go out on Monday to the bars and still go out to the clubs on Tuesday and still watch your MTV and still watch your VH1 and still watch the Wicked Society in Hollywood. They want to enjoy their church so they can enjoy this world. Oh, they love to go to church and all of that. But notice, they love preaching. It says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. They delight to know the ways. They're living in sin, such gross sin that God is dealing with them like this. Yet they sure do love to know His ways. We love preaching in America. Because preaching is so weak or fake. And I wish I had time to help you out on this. Weak or fake. Wicked or fake. Let me give you the wicked one first. That's the one that's scared to death to preach. That's the compromiser. That's the ecumenical preacher. That's the one that won't get up and preach what God has given in His book. That's the one that tippy-toes. And I'm for expository preaching. I believe it's a very sound type. But a lot of preachers choose this expository preaching to get out of the seriousness of naming sins and crying out. They just want to give a lesson and a teaching on the Bible instead of getting up and pointing out the sins, the transgression of the people of God. Wicked preaching. And then we got the fakers. I've been around them. Camp meeting time come. Full house. Preacher's getting up preaching hard too. I mean, he preaches on everything under the sun. I mean, you're quitting Pepsi by the time the night's over. He's preaching up a storm. But where's the power of God? You know what? Fundamentalists love entertaining preaching. Oh man, we love it. I've heard people say this stuff to me. Say, I'm going to a meeting tonight, brother. I said, that's great. Wow. Who's preaching? Oh, I'm just going to go hear this man rip face. That tells me you're more into the entertaining of what that man's going to say than going to worship the holy God of Israel and us. You know, this pulpit's a holy pulpit. I believe men ought to preach with tears in their eyes and broken hearts and seriousness. This ain't a game. I like what one man said. A preacher should never be a comedian. He should be witty, but not a comedian. Hey, amen. We're into entertainment. We want somebody to get up and give us stories. We want somebody to get up and make us... Even if they're a hard preacher. I'm telling you right now, I've been around it. Those guys get up and they preach hard. And they preach hard because people love... Did you know the pride of a Christian can enjoy hard preaching? Man, that was good. I'm living just like he preached too, and I feel great about it. Oh, well, you're real humble. Works of the flesh instead of works in the Spirit. Hypocrites, always quick to point out the outward, and they got full of nastiness on the end. Inside the cup's real dirty. I've been in camp meetings. They never preach on envy and jealousy. They love to hold the Bible. I'm not saying they're all wrong. Everybody understand? But they love to... I never forget one time, I'm telling you the truth. This guy said, come to a meeting tonight. I said, sure. They said, Preacher, would you give us a testimony? I said, I'd be glad to give a testimony. I went up with a broken heart. Young preacher I was... And I loved God so much. And I began to just give my testimony. And people began to get bored. And then I sat down. Then another guy gave his testimony. He was fake. As a $3 bill. He got up. But he said the right stuff. I poured my heart out. And it was dead in there. He got up and just went... He didn't even talk in a normal voice. It wasn't even his voice. His whole voice changed. Well, I just want to thank God for the blood. Just because I said that, whole house started shouting, amen. I thought, that something's not right right there. We're full of it. Wicked preaching and fake preaching. Wicked preaching and fake preaching. We love preaching. We love preaching. We love the kind that tickles our ears on both sides. Anybody listening? God help us. If we got such good preachers, if we got such good churches, why are we in the mess we're in? Let's do a reality check. Let's wake up, old house of Josh. Oh yeah, right here. Old house, I was going to say Jacob. Old house of Jacob and old house church today. Hey, in this era, hey, let's wake up. Let's wake up. Hey, it's me, oh Lord. Let's be real about this. Well, why did they have that in Flagstaff? By the way, when Flagstaff did it, two other states had it on that same week too. It wasn't just Arizona that saw the overturn. What's next for our country? What else is the federal government going to tell us we're going to do? Stop preaching? Stop preaching the Bible? Give them what we're going to talk about? By the way, God's grace, I don't care what they say. And you pray for them preachers in Houston to stand up and not be scared to preach the truth. Just like Daniel did, hey, he just kept on praying even though he didn't want to miss a prayer. I mean, he'd rather be in the den of lions just like Daniel. We ought to have that kind of fervency for the message of God. Notice what else they did, and this is our last one. They wanted to look godly. Look what it says. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me. How about that? They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching. That's those Christians that they want to ask all the right questions. Oh, preacher. Oh, Sunday school teacher, that was just a great message. Tell me, what verse was that again? Because I'm not going to memorize it. Tell me that. Do you have that on tape? Well, what does God really say about holy living? You know how many times I've gotten this phone call, I'm telling you, from all kinds of people I've met. People I've pastored, people I don't even know who they are, but somewhere I bumped into them. because they want somebody to agree with them, you know. Hey, Pastor Greg. Yeah, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing good. Listen, I've been married for 15 years. And my wife and I, we haven't been living together for 5 years. And what is the real biblical definition on divorce, marriage? They ask like they really want to know. No, they don't. Well, sure, I'll be glad to tell you what the definition is. God gives one wife for one life. Amen. Amen. And you keep your marriage. Yeah, but no, there's no... Hey, quit trying to find a way out. You're trying to act godly, but all along you've got a motive. You want to leave that woman and go find you somebody else. See, we're full of this kind of Christianity. Look right here, buddy. You might be one of them. You say, why are you preaching like that? I'm praying that we'll repent and watch our country and our people turn back to God. You might be one of those people this morning. Look, it says, take delight in approaching to God. They want to look godly, like they really approach God. Oh, I got my Bible today. You know what they did before they came to church? They do this. Or it's been laying in the car all week. Get it out. Yeah, ready, preacher. We want to look like we've been approaching Him, and we haven't. We're full of this hypocrisy. It goes on to talk about how they would fast. Listen, let me tell you something. The nation of Israel, you know what they were doing? They were showing God that the religious exercise was what was important to them and not the relationship. They were trying to pull a fast one on God just because they came to church and just because they enjoyed preaching and just because they asked the right questions and just because they actually looked like they went to church and God. They tried to pull one on God like God would get confused and not know the heart and the sins of His people. You can't fool God. I mean, every one of us needs to learn how to be a Jacob. God said, Jacob, who are you? See, to his daddy, he goes, who are you? Oh, I'm Esau. But when God met him, he said, who are you, deceiver? Finally, he said, I'm Jacob. Don't you scheme and fool yourself. We've got to be... You know, the Bible teaches us that we can deceive our own selves, deceive our hearts. I'm stirred this morning. And I don't know what's going to happen to our church. I love our church. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if people are going to keep coming. I'd love to see this church just win the whole city. Amen? I don't know, though. But I know this one thing. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to preach it and stand with a brokenness like God wants us to. I can't conform to reach this town. Can't do it. And you can't do it either. I'll show you one more verse and we'll be done. There's always hope at the end of the message. Amen? Look what it says in chapter 57, verse number 15. Boy, I like this. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know what contrite is? Same thing with humility. It has the idea of a lowliness, a brokenness, not a haughty mindset, not a proud person. I came to church today, but a low, Lord, I'm a sinner. See, we're not concerned about sin anymore in this country. That's why we can hear the news about Houston and then go about our business like it's no big deal. Oh, wow, what's going on over there? Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, what's the football score? That's why we can live like that. Oh, what happened on Friday in the courthouse? Okay. Now, where do you want to go eat, honey? Does it not? I mean, are we so asleep in our sin that we're not shook up over what's going on in our country? Are we that? And I'm asking, are you already planning what you're going to eat for lunch? Are you listening to the message and listening to a message like this and just going, well, you know, what am I hungry for? When's he going to be done? I mean, that's the spiritual state of our country. And the devil's taking the ship down. Don't you be shocked when it happens in Flagstaff. Because we're letting it. Don't you be shocked when another catastrophe from a terrorist happens. We're allowing the judgment to come. Everywhere in the Old Testament, God judged His people. You think He's going to stop doing that because we're in the New Testament? Oh, it's the New Testament. I won't judge my people. No. Nations crumble just like they rise. By the way, I still believe this nation can rise back up. But here's where it's going to be. It's going to be when we see the transgression that the preacher points out. And these altars, once again, are full with a real contrite heart. A brokenness. I was thinking earlier. What's my girls going to grow up in? You know what's happened just in 15 years? 15 years? What's my children going to grow up in? I got precious little girls. I don't know what they're going to grow up in. 93% of teenagers before they're 18, boys and girls, have seen pornography because of the internet's access. It's an over, Brother Tabor was talking about Sunday school and giving stats about churches. An over, they just had this meeting just the other day. I read the statistic. They just had this huge meeting, this conference on the Evangelical Seminary, 21st Annual National Conference of Christian Apologetics. And while they were there, they were talking about pornography among Christians. Dr. Land pointed out that 68% of church goers watch pornography regularly. 68 church goers. Our churches are so worldly, it's ridiculous. By the way, I'm telling you the truth this morning. If a preacher would stand up and cry out loud and preach like he ought to do on pornography, it wouldn't be 68%. People would be uncomfortable listening to that kind of message. They just wouldn't be there or they'd get right. 36% of church goers view it daily. 36 view it daily. 36. It's unbelievable. That's our churches. Yeah, judgment's coming. And yeah, we might lose our freedom of religion. But here's the reason why. I want to ask you this morning, I know you came to church and you're probably excited and wanted to hear that message on grace and the love of Jesus. And I like preaching that, amen. I love the gospel. My favorite message to preach is just the plain gospel. I love it more than anything. But listen to me, please. Right here, I want you all to look right here. The message we love so much, the gospel, the message of grace, the message of the goodness of God. Listen! That message that we love so much. If we don't have what I'm talking about this morning, the true revival, repentance of our sins, if we don't go through conviction, we will not enjoy the messages of comfort that we want to enjoy. One day, you won't hear them. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said, conviction prepares for comfort. It's just, you want to hear the gospel? It's going to be taken away from us unless we're convicted of our sins and have a true repentance and let God revive us. Let's all pray this morning. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And there's some of you that's in fornication. Guess what you need to do? Repent. Some of you in pornography. Guess what you need to do? Repent. Amen. Some of you have a haughty spirit. Guess what you need to do this morning? Repent. Amen. Some of you, you want to look godly. Guess what you need to do? Repent. I'm going to ask Brother Desi to come to the piano. I'm going to have an invitation for three types of folk this morning. Number one, if you're here and you've never been saved, and I know there's people that's never been saved, and you hear a message like this, I'm telling you, if you don't get saved, this might be your last chance. God loves you so much, and I love you. you're here this morning, you've never truly been saved. God wants you to get saved. He'll change your life. There's nothing like the new creature that you'll become. There's nothing like eternity promised to you. God promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again the third day. You'll receive Him as your Lord and Savior. He promises that you'll be eternally saved. And that might be you this morning. If you died, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure? You say, preacher, I don't know for sure. I will not embarrass you. But you say, preacher, that's me. I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. I'm going to snap my finger. If you'll slip it up, I'll pray for you. Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Slip it up right now. I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Here's the second part of the invitation. Preacher, I'm a born-again believer. But I need an old-fashioned rededication revival to God. I need to confess. And I need to repent. I've got sins in my life. Preacher, that's me this morning. Pray for me, preacher. I will not embarrass you, but I sure will pray for you. Slip your hand up right now. Praise God. That's great. Praise God. That's great. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Put that hand down. Oh, praise God. The third group this morning, you say, preacher, in my heart, I want to serve God with all I got. But I'll be honest, I don't have the contrite heart I need for America to turn back to you. I know my hand's there. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to be too comfortable. I want to have conviction again so we can enjoy the comfort. Raise your hand right now. Anybody like that? I know my hand's up. Praise God. Praise God. You may put your hand down. What's going to happen when I can't preach? Huh? If our society gets to where I can't preach and I have to go to jail, are you just going to say, well, it's just the signs of the times? Or will you maybe say, dear God, I didn't pray like I should have prayed. I was too comfortable while this world went down. See, we got to be serious about this matter. We got to be serious. I'm going to pray when I say amen. The altar's open. Maybe you need to hit the altar. And with a sincere heart this morning, say, dear God, would you remember mercy? Dear God, would you send a revival? Dear God, I beg you, Lord. Father in heaven, I pray you'd have the victory. I pray that you'd break us again. I pray you'd give us that conviction so one day we could have the comfort, the blessings we have received so many years in America. Oh, dear God, it's so scary even. Oh, what could be around the corner if we don't beg you to stay your hand and revive us. I pray that we will be open about our sin. May we understand that if Daniel could repent of the sins, that we're not better than Daniel, and that we need to have a true repented heart this morning. Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Amen. Let's all stand up. Piano's playing. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You come forward if you want to come and pray. Piano's playing right now. Come with a brokenness.